Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Welcome to the 40K Lorecast with me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
Welcome to part two of our coverage of Abaddon. Before we begin, I want to once again invite you all to our new webpage, the40klorecast.com. Swing through. It's got all the links on that to our Discord, Facebook. Brad's coaching courses, Brad's Facebook page, because I just decided to link that into there for no reason. Why not? Good luck stealing it from him. It's worth nothing.
Also, you could easily steal it from him. I don't know my password.
Exactly. What's the password? Password?
Could be guest.
Guest one. You want to throw off the hackers. But we're trying to use that as a nice little repository for things going forward.
And we're starting to have some decent discussion in the Discord.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty excited about because as we move on, we've got a pretty big, here's where we're going. We're going to be effectively going on what's the most popular thing that people ask in Discord and stuff like that. Because here's what we could cover. 782,000 billion million gazillion. Is that a word?
Yeah.
I don't think any of those were. But there's a lot of episodes we could cover. 40K universe is infinite. So
there's even aside from covering factions, there are, Brad and I have discussed, like, the areas we want to jump into, just talk about day-to-day life of an Imperium citizen, of an Eldari, of a Tau.
We want to talk about that. I want to go into more and more named characters. Mm-hmm. Some of the named characters have great, and we did last episode where we brought up some of the books and stuff like that. A lot of these characters have been fleshed out over the last 10 years. I think they've really pushed the books.
And some of these books are incredible. I mean, nothing to what we're talking about today. Gaunt's Ghost,
Aramon's
trilogy. These are insanely well-written books with great storylines.
And they make the characters so much more fleshed out. And to be honest with you, I enjoy, in the game, putting some of my favorite characters out that have great lore.
Yeah, as we've been playing, doing this cast, and I've been playing, I have been noticing I'm writing stuff with a lot more lore characters in it, just because it's like, meh, I'm going to go 3-2 anyway. You know, I might as well enjoy it. Who cares? But that's it. We really want to drive the Discord. We launched the website because it actually gives us a few more options around interaction. We can build a page on there for comments and section. It just gives us a bit more freedom to do some more things with this. We can put polls on there. I'm saying can. I haven't done any of these things, but the website's also exists at this point for a week. So.
I mean, and you told me about it 2 days ago.
Yeah, exactly. So we're still getting there, but I do invite you all to go there. It has links.
And you could give us feedback what you'd like to see on the page.
Yep.
Because the page is literally in its infancy right now.
Yeah.
And we can put anything you want within reason with our technological means.
Yeah. We also did add a Patreon to this cast right now. I'm going to be perfectly honest with the Patreon. We will never put any part of this behind a paywall. The Patreon was simply people have been making comments about my ability to do audio video, my audio editing, and they're all correct. And so we would like to maybe upgrade from microphones I bought on Amazon, recorded in my basement. We're never going to a studio, but at least upgrade the equipment and possibly be able to pay someone to do some of this audio editing. So I don't blow your eardrums out when I lean forward and laugh at one of Brad's jokes. Again, super sorry about it. It will be
better at editing when both of us are second.
Yeah, it's just one of these things. So that's all that.
To throw the hardcore that we're doing right now, instead of drinking a bottle of wine, we're drinking hot tea right now.
Because we both got quite sick. And as you heard in the last episode, there are some hard cuts that are probably still going to happen on this one. From nose blowing, coughing, insert it. But yeah, the show must go on. Anyway.
Speaking of people being sick, whoo, Legions of Chaos aren't doing real well right now. Legions of Chaos
aren't doing real well. So we left the last cast with Abaddon has abandoned his legion. His legion, by the way, when we say abandoned legion, It's been pretty fun. He didn't just abandon them like, oh, you guys are good. Let me go take a walkabout. He dropped them off in the Eye of Terra, took their best ship and went.
He also basically said, hey, could you check the tire pressure? I think there's one of the tires is flat. And he drove away.
And drove away, yeah. So the situation as it stands right now is what remains of the Sons of Horus are in the Eye of Terra. Abaddon is nowhere to be seen, like long gone.
And he's nowhere to be seen for a while.
Yeah, what we're about to talk about here is not a year or two. This is...
And it's also warp time.
Yeah.
So this is somewhere between years and hundreds of years. And
centuries. Yeah.
Because it's warp time.
Yeah, it really gets a little bit weird what we're going to go through here. So there's a linear progression to it, but the length of time it takes is
it's all... basically by the eye of the beholder.
Yeah. So to kind of recap this, the Sons of Horus were effectively the first of the Traitor Legions to get back to the Eye of Terror. Because they had to beeline to it.
Well, some of them stopped through some drive-thrus.
Exactly. There was some stuff. But over time, everyone arrives.
Some of them arrive with a lot of extras.
Yeah. Emperor's children being a
bit. Ooh.
So... I actually found this funny. So one thing I do find humorous is when the heresy has quote-unquote concluded, the age of, what should we call it, the age of revenge, begins. The number one target for the Space Marine chapters, which is, of course, the Imperial military, is the Sons of Horus. If you were to ask the citizenry of the Imperium who the number one legion they would like murdered would be, it was Emperor's children.
Yes. Fishhooks and Buttholes is not the greatest.
Yeah.
And also the fact that you're like, hey, man, shouldn't I have died a while ago? You're like, yeah, but you're in the warp, buddy.
You're in the warp right now. Yeah. The Emperor's children decided to just grab every person they could find and bring them with them back to the Eye of Terror for party time. And they weren't the only ones who did this. I mean, the World Eaters did some of this. Thousands did some.
Iron Warriors grabbed a shit ton of people.
Yeah,
Iron Warriors. But they grabbed a lot of people for actual logistics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were actually going, well, we need someone to load our ships, to build munitions. Yeah. And the Emperor's children were like, yeah, but we also could torture them.
Yeah, exactly.
So this one out there, like.
And they were like, yeah, but they die. Like, yeah, well, we'll get more.
Yeah, like, but I want to.
Well, at this point in time, though, the legions... Because chaos, I don't know if you guys know what chaos is. It's not good. It's not order.
Yeah, it's not
organization. And the Chaos Legions start to have insidious whisperings because the four chaos gods are always fighting.
Yeah.
Just period. Yeah,
the four chaos gods hate the Emperor second to each other.
Yeah. So they want their patron. Their patrons want their peoples, their legions, to... fight the other ones. Why? Because we're better than them.
Yeah.
You should get rid of that. And they start an all-out free-for-all in the Eye of Terror. And we get a new type of combat, too. Because, oh, yeah, remember when the laws of physics don't always work because you're half in, half out of the warp? That's the Eye of Terror. So we get some wacky wars. And it starts to get pretty crazy. And... the Sons of Horus, Luna Wolves, Black Legion are getting ruined in this time.
Yeah, the issue is effectively you've got to have tiers of power. And we said the Emperor's children are the most powerful because they did a couple of things. First off, they bailed the Siege of Terra and just went, well, what if instead of fighting the entirety of the Imperial military, we just go down the street and to the apartment complexes and just grab.
They went to the Gap.
Yeah, we go to the Gap and just grab everyone who's
at everybody the Gap. Folding a t-shirt.
Yeah, and then on the way home, we're going to stop off at every single like roadside gas station and grab all them. So they're sitting in the warp with this. Just they didn't take the level of losses a lot of the other ones did.
It's barely anything.
Yeah, and they're sitting in the warp with this giant swath of people.
And they're also probably the most chaos at the time.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have been corrupted more over time. I mean, Death Guard, but they're all
Death Guard's different. Yeah. Death Guard are just, they're just.
But these guys dying. Aren't fractured yet. And they're also wildly into chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Because Fulgrim did a good job in that. His opera of death, his ballet of death. But he He cleaned out everybody that wasn't just straight crazy person.
And so they are just wrecking shop. But you also, of course, have world eaters. You even have Thousand Sons. The Thousand Sons actually have been there for a little bit.
And the world eaters aren't quite broken yet. We haven't got Karns.
Yeah, but they're all there. Something. They're all there. What's actually happening, what's kind of cool about this war is that it's not just the factions fighting each other, but even within the factions.
Oh, yeah.
Because as we said, the Chaos Gods just, they like to fill a gap of leadership. And you've got numerous factions back there.
It just becomes war bands.
Yeah, and that's what it just, the irony of me saying the Eye of Terror has descended into anarchy really, I don't think it descended that far. It was maybe a small notch.
For a lot of us that have played the game, hopefully there's some old timers out there for me. Mm-hmm. But like, this is what Chaos was based on when you used to make an army in 40K, mm-hmm. was a Chaos war band. You were a group led by a personality. You mm-hmm. basically have said, you've got some ideas, Ted. I'm in. And he grabbed, and this is why you used to see a lot of non-Legion armies. Because they would just take everything that they could get, you know what I mean, and rock from
there. That's the reason, not because the rules would be super broken if you crossed over multiple.
1,000% You used to break that. Undivided Lord, my friend. Then you could bring Zerkers, Plague Marines, Noise Marines.
Yeah, I'm all high. I liked how well you were sugarcoating that, but I was in my head like,
you guys did that because
it was broken as all hell.
Chaos Black Book, thank you very much.
Chaos Black, yeah, that. Ooh. That was a fun addition, wasn't it?
And the thing is that we've got notes on this that a lot of the legions aligned to their god, but there's several legions that didn't have a god.
Right.
So they either worshipped all of them or none of them. Like Word Bearers, for instance, all equally. Yeah. They were just like, I want the mm-hmm. full buffet. And then you had people like the Iron Warriors, which just did deals that tried to give them a little bit more.
Exactly.
He was just... Whatever I can get, I will take, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you had, I mean, world leaders don't even know they're Khorne worshippers, but they are.
But most importantly is the Sons of Horus. The Sons of Horus. Horus was beholden to all four Chaos Gods.
He was the champion of
And that's what happened. Chaos. When he broke apart, those Chaos Gods, in fact, I think their legion was maybe one of the biggest targets because it was this piece of, well, who's going to get it? Right. So they're getting just bombarded in different, and captains are going to different Chaos Gods.
They've also lost every single, mm-hmm. because the fact that the Dawn's gone, and because of everything that happened during the Heresy,
yeah.
the top eight guys
are all dead.
Yeah. Are all dead or gone. So you have like, hey man, who's next in line? You're like, we never thought it would get this far. Like no one knows who's next in line because it's just, we lost everybody.
And so what's going to happen now is you've got, Emperor's Children, so I'm going back to them a second. What you have is infighting within the Eye of Terror where everyone is trying to get a leg up. But you've got factions in a good, like Emperor's Children, who don't really like a fair fight. They're not Khorne. They like picking off the weak and then exploiting it. And what you have going on right now really well is, when we talk about the weak, is... The Sons of Horus are quite weak, and they decide this is who we're going after. And the Sons of Horus, and they're not the only ones with this. Everyone basically targets the Sons of Horus.
But they're also splintered, too. Mm-hmm. So they're not like, it's not like we're leaderless, but they're leaderless and in small roving bands compared to everybody else. So they are just getting jacked, like pretty super jacked, to be honest with you.
So what the Sons of Horus decide is really only one thing they can do. And that is build a giant fortress and just protect ourselves. So they build this giant fortress in the middle of the Eye of Terror.
Which kind of gives them the Field of Dreams thing. Because the rest of the Sons of Horus start just coming there because they're tired of getting their asses kicked. Mm-hmm. Because, again, everybody's kind of... And they also have, to be fair, mm-hmm. they have a little of the, hey, man, remember when, like, shit went bad? And you guys were at fault.
Yeah.
And no one can stop me from bullying you right now. It's your fault.
It's your fault. So the one mistake or whatever they did there is they decide to entomb Horus's body in this fortress because they were looking for a god to worship as well. And they selected Horus. So the sons of Horus are now worshiping Horus's body in the middle of this fortress. Seems like a good idea. You want to come get us, then you have to get through all of our defenses, blah, 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 blah. Issue with that is a certain member of the Emperor's Children named Fabius Bile.
With Trojan. He's got some stuff on him.
Yeah, so I do want to kind of take a little note about Fabius Bile. Fabius was the chief apothecary of the Emperor's Children. And like,
he was already doing weird shit. Yeah.
If you take an apothecary and you put him on the side of Slaanesh, you're not...
Put it this way, let's just go for how weird he is.
Yeah.
The Dark Eldar come to Fabius Bile for some of his creations.
Yeah. He's...
It's back and forth between...
Fabius Bile is creepy. Like, really creepy. But he's also very powerful within this legion.
He's super creepy, but he's also a genius.
Yeah. Oh, he's incredibly smart. He's not just this random, like...
No, he is a wacky... He is an awful mad scientist.
Yes.
He's got means, he's got intellect, and he has zero morals, negative morals. Yeah.
And so he decides that what they need to really overcome, for the traitor legions to come back up and go take it to the Imperium, is they need a new leader. And so why make a new one? We can just have the old one again. And decides, I'm going to clone Horus.
Well, originally he kind of wanted Frankenstein Horus, but...
Yeah, but he decides to clone Horus. And obviously, if you want to clone someone, really helps to have their body. And you know who has their body. Oh, I know who has their body. I'm going to go get it. So he leads this force that just wrecks shop.
True. And at the same time, he gets the body. He does some stuff.
Oh, we're going to get there. Don't worry. As always, this episode, I don't foreshadow and then leave it for the next episode. Those who know the story know where we're going. Those who don't know the story, don't worry. We're going to get there. They just completely run through the Emperor's Children, the Sons of Horus, and actually end up killing most of the other remaining Sons of Horus in this process. So this has happened, and now whatever's left of the Sons of Horus are just fractured and waiting to die. These few remaining guys realize, well, we're just out of options. And they do a Hail Mary. And the Hail Mary is, what if we just kind of put out a call to all the people we were friends with? Forget Legion, just across Legion, and see if we can put somebody together here, because we don't know what's going on. And that's, again, it goes back to what I was saying before. Abaddon, but not just Abaddon, like Abaddon, but not just Abaddon, the Black Legion actually have a lot of honorable history here. These are sergeants, captains, soldiers who are members of what are now falling legions. These guys, they were traitors. Now they're falling to chaos and are going, yeah, man, like, no, like, this isn't what I wanted. I don't want to worship. I definitely want to worship Slaanesh, but even like Tzeentch, like, this is wrong.
They take in all your strays. Mm-hmm. They, Ellis Island,
everybody. Yeah. And they begin building this fighting force that's going to sit there and, all right, well, effectively, the starts of a new legion is coming from this. One of the key ones is Kaon, who is actually a Thousand Suns sorcerer. Yeah, who is now independent. Again, I've always found the Thousand Suns Fall to Chaos interesting because, yes, they love psychic powers, no question there. But they're, in my mind, in reading the books, were always one of the more intelligent legions. The fact that they would go to the thirst for knowledge, but it's also the god of deception. It feels to me like of all the legions who would resist, like the least resistance to chaos to me is very obviously the religious. Like they're just like, this is awesome. Everything, nothing changed.
We fell to chaos.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Nothing changed in my daily life between no chaos and full chaos, whatever. But I always found that the fall of the Thousand Suns to be interesting because they really were. They were nerds, for lack of a better phrase. They were kind of the nerds of the Space Marines. They liked to read books. That's what they did. They were looking for old scrolls. They loved knowledge. And they fell to the god of deceit.
Yeah, but they were pushed a little bit. Because part of them fell to the god of deceit. And then the Space Wolves showed up.
Well, the Space Wolves pushed them into that hole. Don't get me wrong. But
right about the time where they were like YOLO swaggins. And-
yeah.
we're breaking your world.
But don't forget, the Thousand Sons didn't agree to this. It was Ahriman and Magnus who led them whole, like, who gave their souls away. So what I'm getting at is I'm not surprised that the Thousand Sons, and certain members of the Thousand Sons, were like, hey.
Yeah, I'm going to bail.
Yeah, I'm out. Like, this is stupid. And so Kenyon's one of the key ones. But he's not alone. He finds members of Emperor's Children, World Eaters, Word Bearers, et cetera, who are all just also stuck in the Eye of Terror. Because don't forget, you can't really go back to the Imperium and say, hey, guys, I'm actually not with those dudes anymore. Yeah. Can we hang out? Like, when you have the Lion and Leman just waiting outside the Eye of Terror going.
Those guys aren't really understanding.
Yeah, they're not. You don't get to hail them. It's kind of a you appear, they shoot. It's not a complicated system. So you're stuck. And so we have to form a new legion.
And Kenyon actually does some wacky things because they effectively fight multiple people.
Yeah.
And they go, are you about done?
Yeah.
Can we be friends now? Or at least people that will kill other people together.
Yeah. And I just think the story is really fun and cool as we kind of dive through it. One thing that they end up doing, though, is they capture a word bearer priest. And by capture,
Yeah. He insta surrendered.
Yeah.
As he will the word bearer.
Them on the phone and surrendered. Hey, man, you want to come over here and pick me up? He tells them that he knows.
He has no business right knowing where this is, by the way.
Of course not. But he knows. The word bearers over the course of the lore have just turned into like shaman in 80s action movies.
They're just the guy in a video game where you meet and he's like, yeah, it's the thing you want is over here. You don't ever leave this place. How do you know? I just do.
Yeah, that's actually a better description.
You're like, he literally has the exclamation point over his head for a quest given. So they decide to go get the Vengeful Spirit. And in a big deal, when we're going to talk to Abaddon.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do this. We'll do this right. So
fine.
You're right. Continue. I just want to tease Brad about what I'm going to interrupt with in a second.
Well, we'll continue with that. It's just they effectively say that they're going to go find the Vengeful Spirit. They're going to kill the Emperor's Children, holding their dead Primarch. And that's a big asterisk all over the place, because when they meet the Don's on his vision quest.
Well, there's like 30 of them too. But the part of this that I hate is, so they're all meeting with a super secret meeting. They've got this word bearer priest who tells them where to go, and it involves, I mean, the story is kind of cool. In order to get there, they're going to have to do, like, they're going to be darting all through the Eye of
Terror. They literally go on a D&D adventure.
And they're going through places that no one has ever been within the Eye of Terror. But as they're formulating this plan, of course, a giant Emperor's Children fleet appears out of nowhere. And I literally wrote those in shitty GW writing, because this isn't even clever writing where it's like, hey, we've got a plan. All right, let's do it.
They just jump into a webway gate that happens to be like under a manhole cover.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like they make this whole thing about, and I'm just shitting on a book that you all should read, and I'm sorry, but
it actually is a cool story, but yes.
It's a cool story, but that's what it's like. They have this really great meeting. They have a plan. They realize they actually have a chance to realign the Legion, create something new. And suddenly, of course, out of nowhere, we get attacked. Yeah, because that's always what happens. And they're going to lose the fight because, they actually call out that they're so outmatched that their entire fleet would lose to one of the ships that showed up, let alone the whole skew of them. But luckily, one special guy figures out a trick. And actually, the trick's really cool because they actually do end up, they discover a webway gate. They end up using a destroyed webway gate because they are, of course, in the former Eldar homeworld. And that helps them jump around the galaxy and avoid the Emperor's Children. So that part's kind of cool. But the whole surprise attack thing by a fleet that were so overmatched. And I'm just
so overmatched because they had seven dudes with them.
Yeah, it's seven dudes with you and they got attacked by the entire British Navy.
Actual number? They have like a ludicrously small number.
Well, as they're doing this, let's kind of jump into Abaddon and kind of where he's at mentally.
Well, no, because Abaddon does the whole wandering through the desert being tempted by the gods.
Yeah.
Abaddon is literally wandering around on a vision quest. Every single chaos god, all of them are taking turns basically trying to make him their champion. You can take back over the Imperium. You will succeed where Horus failed. Mm-hmm. Just accept me as your patron. I will give you the thing. And the Don turns them down over and over again. So they go from they go from carrot to the stick and go, well, we will make your life miserable. You are terrible. You will fail at everything. Mm-hmm. You'll be lost in the war.
You'll never do anything without us.
Yeah. And then they effectively psychically attack him multiple times. They also put him in scenarios and try to show him all the failures in his life. And they tell him about and this is kind of get him ready about the fact that the Sons of Horus are getting destroyed. It's his fault. Everything was his fault.
He abandoned his legion. He abandoned his brothers. How could you do that? You're weak. And what's actually empowering Abaddon through all this is he's just lost mentally on all that stuff and just doesn't want to commit to anything. Because the thing I really want to harp on again, because I'm going to keep doing this, is Abaddon never wanted power or fame. It was never part of it. His goal was to actually be part of something. He just wanted to be part of something big, something powerful. And all he ended up doing was he left a world of warlords killing each other. Galaxy of it now. He's exactly where he was. But he does have one thing that he realizes he loves more than anything. And that is victory.
Well, it's victory. And the thing is he wants victory, but he wants it on his terms. Mm-hmm. And he thought the biggest failing of where Horus was weak was Horus became a puppet of the gods.
Exactly.
And he effectively declared multiple times, to be honest with you, in multiple stories, I will never be a puppet of the gods. That's why he's still, to this day, not a Primarch, not a Paynim prince. He is... He is just a juiced up human, but he's super juiced up.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
It's time to accept it. The holidays are upon us, and finding gifts for people is never easy or really fun. Luckily, we at the 40K Lorecast have a new sponsor, which will help you make your holiday shopping fast and easy. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Add some personalization to your holiday shopping with Uncommon Goods. Did I go there and buy the game Fart Bingo? Yeah, I did. Is it for my child to play with his friends? We'll go with, yeah. At the same time, I was able to get a cocktail smoker. So yeah, those are probably all for me. Anyway, that's what's great about Uncommon Goods. They have uncommon, get it, collection of items you can choose from, allowing you to pick up a fun variety of items this holiday season. You'll find thousands of gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. So, shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/40klore, 40klore. That's uncommongoods.com/40klore for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
The thing is that to this day, foreshadowing for everything, but the current day, he just refuses to be the champion of any one god or even just accept all their, he gets powers and he gets influence from them, but he is in essence still just him.
It all came from this era where he's wandering around resisting them. But eventually, during his wandering around, a bunch of dudes show up on his ship. Who are pretty damn lost, and they're super happy to have found the vengeful spirit, and they stumble upon a very different looking. Well, first of all, no top knot. That's the most important piece here. They arrive on Abaddon, and for the first time, no dumb top knots. He actually
literally the beginning of the story of the Black Legion. John's like, definitely top knots.
Starting off with no top knot.
100%.
It comes back.
He is literally all I can think of is Megamind when they go when he's got the beard and he wants to show him that he's playing his banjo or whatever. That's basically how they find Abaddon with just unkept beard. Trying to tell him that he's now he's going to play folk music the rest of his life.
Exactly. I've started a band. I'm a one person four piece band. Cool.
And
you don't want to hear it.
The Don wants to, before he starts his long war.
Yes.
He doesn't really want to do anything. He again wants to do folk music.
Yep.
And they tell him about the fact that the emperor's children stole the body, and he gets the what?
Yeah. They stole. They did what?
They did what?
And they're going to clone it.
Yeah.
Not on my goddamn watch. Yeah.
So the Don goes from, I had thought maybe if I ever get done, you know, with my folk music career, then I could get back to doing stuff, to, all right, all you idiots. Yeah. You're now doing what I say. Yeah.
Get in the back. We're going now.
Like, yeah, like now. Yeah. And he just basically explains.
Yeah.
Well, all the way over, he kind of gives them his new manifesto. He literally just goes, we are going to start a new war. It's a forever war, but it's the long war.
You can't call it a final war because bad references there. But yeah, he's going, we're doing this. And his biggest piece is that Horus failed because he was short-sighted in his goals.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm not doing that. And we're going to, the line I like, it's actually, there's a very good quote in the book, and I don't feel like stealing it because of basic human decency. But the gist of the quote is, we conquered the galaxy for the Imperium, and they gave us nothing but betrayal. So now we're going to go reconquer it for ourselves. And I kind of like that, to be honest. It's kind of a badass quote. So good for him. Anyone who stands against us, they're just dead. We're doing this.
That's where you get the let the galaxy burn.
Yeah,
let
the galaxy burn.
So the Don still has picked up, because everybody offered him juice.
Yeah.
He still got extra new Don powers.
Yeah.
So he starts grabbing everybody he can find.
With a warp power. So now he can actually, and they're in half warp.
Well, he's also a beacon. People just start coming to him like moths to flame. Everybody that's these scattering warbands just kind of comes to the Don. And the Don has Horus light powers now, as far as charisma way. He went from menacing presence to menacing, I'm just gonna do what this dude says for some unknown reason. Mm-hmm. Because he brokers a lot of deals, and people that have no business listening to him just agree to listen to him. So I have to believe this isn't a full in canon thing.
You don't have to be canon in this podcast.
Yeah, but it's not a canon. I've always thought that he had the Diet Coke of Horus's power at this point in time. The charisma power. The
charisma power.
Because he brokers so many deals with people that he gets other prime. He gets Magnus. He gets Angron. He gets Mortarion.
Well, that's later.
Later, I'm saying, but like, he does all this shit, and he's doing it right away.
He's not a Primarch, and they're Demon Prince Primarchs. You're right. You're right. There's got to be something.
There's a bunch of powerful people that just holds sway over, and he starts to do this right away. So he basically starts to just take everybody. And I love this part about it, is he starts the beginning of what becomes known as the Black Legion. Mm-hmm. They get rid of all markings of Sons of Horus. And because that is the shame, that is the falling.
Well, it's beyond Sons of Horus. He's also bringing other.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's their initial attempt to do it brought shame, because they didn't do it the right way. They didn't hold on to what made them right in the first place.
The funny thing is, I was writing the notes for this, it clicked on me. They're basically the Death Watch.
Yeah.
But for chaos.
For chaos.
Because it's a, whatever legion you're from, I don't care. Repaint your armor. Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. We're doing this over here.
And we don't do any of the things that we did before. Mm-hmm. We're winning at all cost. We're going to do, not even just all cost, it's in all cost, but with guidelines.
Exactly, with guidelines.
The pirate code.
What's cool about him, what Abaddon decides to do too, is he's looking at this. He's also looking at the fracturing of the legions. He doesn't want to conquer the other traitor legions, or eight traitor legions. Rather, he realizes, to his credit, he just wants to lead by example. His viewpoint is, I'm going to go wage this war on the Imperium, and I'm going to wage it in a way that all the other ones are just going to want to be part of it. They're going to want to come along with me.
Literally, Alexander the Great said,
"Yeah, we're going this way." All right.
It's just, he starts to go, yeah, you can do what you want as long as you do it as I'm doing it. Come this way. Whatever you want to do, go do it. And it's a big deal in this because he starts telling people what he's going to do. And the first thing he's going to do, and holy shit, is he pissed off about it.
Oh, yeah. So as much as we spend all that time talking about how I'm going to wage this war in the Imperium, I'm going to reconquer it and blah, 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 blah. Before I do any of this, I'm going to go punch Fabius Bile in the face and grab Horus's body back because that shit ain't happening.
He is not.
Yeah. Yeah, he launches his entire army at Fabius Bile.
And it's wildly huge now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird how many people, like, it was like an 80s montage of just picking up all the strays. And the weird thing is that the legions had started to really fracture at this point in time. So when he comes back, he's just pulling all this in.
Yeah, he's not getting one guy here and one guy there. He's getting companies
are
just coming over like, yeah, let's go do this. Like, my old captain's weird.
Yeah, people started doing stuff.
And I can't.
Well, a lot of the Marines also are lost because they don't have a reason. Yeah. Most of these people are ingrained. Like, the Marines, they didn't want to give them too much free time, so they used to give them 15 minutes of free time in one of the old stories. Like, you think that's too much? So they need a purpose. These guys have been doing a goal their whole existence.
And not all of them are falling to the god. As Brad said, the chaos gods are tempting them, but not all of them are going that way. Or some of them also just are harder to tempt, and so they're just lost. And so now some guy says, hey, remember when all we did was wage war? Yeah. You want to go do that again? Yeah.
We're going to start with something that the Don started to do a lot over the last 10,000 years.
So this is the one foreshadow I'm going to say is a foreshadow for basically every time the Don gets involved with an invasion in 40K.
Well, he just decides to take, it's a destroyer, but it's a big ship.
Well, let's set the stage bit. So they have that. So Fabius Bile, the situation is that he's got a ship. They don't know where his ship is, but they know what planet it's on. And the idea is if we attack the planet, then the ship will come up into orbit, and then we can attack the ship. That's what Abaddon's plan. But the problem is the said planet is covered in planetary defenses.
So he decides to effectively warp in underneath their defenses, a ship, traveling at faster than light speeds.
Yeah, to just slam it into the planet, because that's going to work. Which,
I mean, it does.
We did the cast on the orcs.
Yeah. It works really well.
The orcs did this quite a few times. So go Abaddon on stealing an idea. Also, not the last time he's going to do this.
No, he doesn't quite.
It's like one of his new favorite things to do.
I love that you put in all caps. Yeah. He stole this from the orcs.
He did. He stole this from the orcs. It is a very convenient way, though, to get around planetary defenses is just warp in a derelict spacecraft, have it crash into the planet.
And follow up?
Yeah, then just come in there.
Wait a second. What did he do? They followed up. They go into Fabius Bile's ship, and then, holy crap, they put on their boots of mighty ass kicking.
Yeah.
It is not even a fight. They just put the beats.
But what's cool about it is, this ship's cool to me because the Fabius Bile ship comes up and they decide we're not going to blow it out of the sky. We're going in there. I'm going to remember Abaddon's whole thing is no more failures. He's not going to do the bad guy thing of I'm going to blow it up and hope I got Horus's body. He's on team. No, I'm going to personally go in there do this.
He's not putting you under the laser beam and then he's going to go watch TV and hope that
I got a gun. Let's just shoot him right now.
The sharks will definitely get him.
The sharks will totally get him. The sharks with laser beams. We're fine. Abaddon goes, screw this. I'm going in. And he goes in with everybody. But Fabius Bile's ship is not.
It is bonkers town.
Yeah.
He has also been experimenting with fusing people into the ship.
Yeah.
Which is pretty freaky.
Yeah. Fusing demons to people. Robots to demons to people, basically all human centipede, but for murder.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and it is the reason I like this is that you hit this ship and it's just full of these monstrous, these aren't like cute and cuddly things he's making. They're all meant for war. Bad and the Black Legion land and go, yeah, I'm killing everything on this ship.
The funniest thing about the Don is I always crack up because he completely doesn't get corrupted so often. because he just doesn't care.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's like
he's like so like yeah, like it's one of my favorite quotes in Pathfinder: Wrath of the Righteous, a video game, is one of the guys is super lawful evil guy, and everybody gets pulled into a thing where they try to corrupt them and tempt them. And when he shows up to him, there's nothing going on. Yeah. And he just goes, as a good commanding officer, I don't have any secret ambitions. So he's like, yes, no. But that's what I think with Abaddon, because he's just like, yeah, man, I don't care. Like your weird thing is just something that I'm going to kill on the way there.
On the way to the
next Everybody thing. Else is losing their sand. And he's just like, I don't know what you guys are doing. Just keep going that way. It's not a big deal.
They just wreck shop through this shit.
Like bad too. Yeah.
I mean, nothing's slowing them down.
This is an 80-0 victory.
Yeah.
I mean, he's rooting. Yeah. Also, Fabius Bile didn't know that the Don was showing up.
No, that part, I think he was expecting it. Well, although to be honest, when someone crashes a derelict spacecraft into your planet, you probably should have been better prepared for the fight.
True story. But I think Fabius Bile's never been a tactical mastermind. He's a brilliant weirdo.
Surgeon weirdo, exactly.
Yeah, but he's just like, he's not the dude you're going for plans.
They bust into this, you know, their target, which is the cloning center. And this part of the story is super cool because, as we said, they're there to rescue Horus. They're going to get Horus's body. You're not cloning Horus. And they get in there and discover he was cloning all the Primarchs. All of them.
Yeah, I was about to say, they don't really do this justice because he was doing all 20 and two of them. We don't know who the hell they are.
I saw the 20 and I'm like, is this a typo? Because how did you find the missing two? And for all you wondering, yeah, that's all I got too. Like I was actually hoping to get more information out of this and read the book. Like, no, they just,
he Fabius just, apparently just knows the deleted guys and just was like, whatever.
He is in the warps. The Chaos Gods probably knew something about it, but he's cloning all 20 of the Primarchs, which is a lot scarier than anyone thought. Basically Fabius is making a super army. And then I want to point out, Abaddon's not a good guy. And he's fighting the bad guy. And he's going to do this to actually help out the good guys because 20 corrupted Primarchs being launched into the Imperium would have been bad.
He also decides that he is not down with this.
Oh, at all.
So he goes full murder hobo. The NPC was trying to explain some backstory from the DM.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, thank you, sir. No, thank you.
This breaks.
And he started murdering everything. He did have one clone, and of course, it was the Horus clone.
Yeah, kind of the side of the room. There's a bunch of loud footsteps come. I mean, I feel like the book credit on this. They, they're fighting. They're basically destroying the cloning up the cloning room, and they hear thundering footsteps coming down a corridor. And all of a sudden, a bunch of Justeran just go flying through the air.
I mean, Duel of Fate starts playing.
Basically. Yeah, as a giant figure wielding a very special warhammer just starts wrecking people, and it is. It's the clone of Horus, and it's holding the warhammer that Horus was given by the Emperor, and just he is wrecking these guys. But Abaddon
crushes him.
Yeah, well, I simply put, Abaddon killed his father, and did it once. I'm doing it twice.
I did laugh so hard at this last night, so I need to give you guys in the notes. After he kills him, he goes to Abaddon's credit and John's joy. There was no long speech.
Yeah, this is the first time I can ever think of with GW. Abaddon and Horus are fighting. Horus starts saying some words to him, and Abaddon says, shut up, and just starts slapping him. Abaddon just actually overpowers Horus. He breaks his warhammer, and then as Horus starts trying to, chat him up,
he just murders.
Just jams his claw straight through Horus and just slaughters him right then and there.
Oh, he just gives no shits. You're like, you're probably not going to get along the bad guy speech.
Yeah. So happy about that because every other book we've had to listen to, and these are all the reasons why you betrayed me. And
but he does give a full Arnold 80s action movie line. Yeah,
which is way better.
Yeah, I am not your son.
I'm not your son. So he says, because the clone refers to him as his son during the fight. And at the end of it, after he kills him, he goes, I'm not your son, and leaves.
Yeah. He basically again gives the 80s movie, because he just blows the fuck everything up and just rolls out, which is funny because the Fabius Bile ends up doing a bunch of work for Avedon after a while.
But. Oh, yeah. They eventually come back around and become best buds, and especially more modern versions.
So there's a big thing about this, because the Don goes from broken to fueled by hatred. And he turns his wild loyalty and love of Horace into a driving. He is literally fueled by hate.
Yeah. He just, honestly, he hates Horace.
He hates Horace for his weakness.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Not the person,
not Horace, the person. But exactly.
for failing. What he said was Horace failed to lead by failing to succeed. This becomes all Abaddon cares about is success. And so he's just not going to fail like Horace, because he's not going to fail.
And sorry, you know, you can just keep my goofy laugh in there for that, because nothing makes me happier than thinking about what happens next.
Yeah.
Because Abaddon legitimately starts having HR meetings.
Yes.
And literally does, hey, what have you been doing for the company? That sounds stupid. And just cuts people's heads off. Yeah. He starts murdering everybody that he thinks sucks that is leading. And he does, I'm talking like, we're talking everybody from a squad leader to a large leader of a war band to a company leader.
To the dude carrying ammo.
Like, yeah.
We are not playing around.
Like, hey man, are you good at what you're supposed to be good at? Did you fail? If you did, well, my HR meeting really ends in death. You're like, what are the other options? You're like, death or more death?
And some of this was actually really clever. Like, one of the stories I loved was there was the Eye of Horus was the name of the war band that had split off. And they had just basically told Abaddon to go F himself. We're never joining or doing anything with you.
He murder faces everybody.
Well, wait, so what he does is he attacks an ADMEC post. And invites them with on the attacks. They're like, yeah, great, we'll hang out with you. So they go and they attack the ADMEC post together, and they run over the ADMEC. And at the end, the leader of the Eye of Horus comes over to Abaddon and goes to shake his hand, and Abaddon cuts his head off.
Yeah.
And then it turns to the Legion.
He smokes every captain.
Yeah, it turns to the Legion, looks at them, and they all immediately bend the knee. And boop. And this is what he does. He just kills everybody.
Well, he kills everybody, especially in charge.
Yeah.
Because he also thinks that he goes pretty psycho about this, because he just decides that everybody was doing it wrong. Everybody failed. If you were in charge when we failed, you're now dead.
Yeah. And what I love about this is same thing the lion did. Yeah. Where he just went through lion, with a lot more murder. The lion went through and challenged every captain and said, I'm going to prove him better than you. Abaddon just went, I'm just going to kill every captain, and every one of you is going to follow me, because who else are you going to follow? The guy who's dead? Like, what do you want? And Abaddon now becomes, over this period of, it ends up being, I think, a couple thousand years in actual imperial timeline.
It's it's wildly all over the place for that.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, but by the time he reappears in the imperial
timeline. Well, in the imperial timeline, he's showed up because the warp timeline is so weird.
That's the thing. So it's a little bit hard to tell what's been going on, but he effectively goes into the warp with him and a few buddies. Most of those buddies die, and he comes back out of the warp, the War Master, with not all, but the vast majority of the Chaos Legions either directly under his command.
And it really wanes and waxes.
Yeah.
Because depending on what he wants to do, and I do want to touch on this because I want to talk about the people saying that the Crusades, because I want to touch on the Crusades a little bit before we go, because the Crusades are such a big thing. Abaddon has 13 Black Crusades, and people always go, oh, they retcon him to be this mastermind, because in the Arcs of Omen, I call it Arcs of Covenant. I don't know why, but
pretty different,
you know, he comes and he blows up Cadia and he does all this stuff. And they're like, well, he retconned him to be this mastermind. No. As well, back, we were talking about this before we recorded the first episode of Abaddon. Way back, and I think it's either 2003, 2006, they had already talked about his crusades weren't trying to take over the Imperium. His crusades were trying to get things.
His idea of long war. What he meant by that was, this will take as long as it needs to take. I am not going to make the mistake Horus made. Horus was under a clock. Horus's problem, his entire plan involved getting to the Terra before Gilliman and the Lion got there. That was Horus's thing. Abaddon's plan is, I'm going to conquer the Imperium. So I'm going to do logistics. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And his crusades were built around both strengthening his position and weakening the position.
A lot of those weakening. And he also he got his blade, which contains a world-dominating demon. All of these things led up to it. And it's a big thing because people go, hey, this was retcon. No, really, it wasn't. It's been the same for 20-some years. It's just his writing is everywhere because he's included in so many different novels, so many different codices, because there's things about Abaddon in everyone's codex, it seems.
And that's where kind of like the next episode we're going to get into is we're going to take this leap from Abaddon becoming the new War Master to just about the start of 40K. So like there's a chunk here about, you know, how he built himself up and some of the things that he did throughout this era. Because when we talk about 40K, 40K is played almost like a snapshot. For those of you who don't realize, we don't play over the entire like 1,000 years. We play over like 5 or 6 years at a time. So we really are going to take the Abaddon up. It's hard with Abaddon because anytime we add stuff to him, a codex comes out and there's new stuff about him because, as Brett said, he's in every single codex. But let's keep kind of pushing. Let's get you guys kind of caught up to like a lot of stuff he does coming into this. Because there are certain things he does, cough, cough, Cadia, that are...
And breaking the sky.
Yeah, literally splitting the galaxy.
In half.
Yeah. He is the reason why the Xenos incursions are incurring, you know, Tyranids.
Whoopsie.
Yeah, oopsie. I brought the Tyranids into the galaxy.
They shouldn't have shot that nightlight out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, hey, moths. Here's a big flame. So we're going to cover a lot of that stuff with Abaddon, but... To kind of recap the episode real quick, Abaddon, you know, the very first one we talked about, Abaddon comes up. He ends up, he's right next to Horus. The Horus heresy fails, and he's just broken. This episode was about the rise of him. Him coming from this broken man who just feels that anything and everything he's ever...
It's like the reforming, though.
Yeah.
He reinvented who he was.
Exactly.
He went from the follower of... For him, the follower of failed betrayers.
Yes.
To the leader of the long war and the guy that's going to get things done no matter how long. There's no, again, like you were saying, there's no clock, there's no anything. He's going to win and he wants to win against, he doesn't need to separate.
He's not killing the Emperor and calling it a day. No, he's going to conquer every planet in the galaxy. And this, as time goes by, begins to not just include the Imperium, but also Xenos that get in his way. Yeah. You know, nothing is stopping me. I am going to conquer this entire galaxy.
Yep. And more. Yep.
So with that, we will conclude. We'll see you guys next week on our part 3 of Abaddon coverage. Once again, I'm John Barsai. This is Brad Chester.
This guy.
See you guys next week.